The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Each year, what the world calls the Christmas season seems to start earlier. That means that each year, by the time we get to what the church calls Advent, we have seen Christmas up in the stores for at least a month. Maybe our homes are already decorated, or they're partially decorated. The shopping frenzy has begun, and it's in full swing. A time that ideally would bring us quiet, peace on earth, relaxation, and good things, ends up with crowds at the malls and other stores, heavier traffic with drivers that get angry very quick. There's much to do to get ready. And then we come to church. Here we aren't in the Christmas season. Instead, for us, that will begin when Christmas arrives. We are in a time of intentional waiting, of hopeful waiting. And we may ask, why do we even try to keep a meaningful Advent? The answer is that we aren't doing this to be a killjoy in a time of festivity around us. We aren't being mean by jumping right into Christmas. Instead, we do this so that our longing for the surprises that God has for us will be awakened in us. We do this so we can keep our focus on what happened with our God in the past, what is going on with our God in the present, and what we are truly waiting for, which is what our God will do in the future. As you heard in our gospel reading, we certainly aren't jumping right into the Christmas story. Instead, we do what we normally do, which is begin our new church year with the end. We are looking ahead to what Jesus said will happen at the end of all times. This is a tradition that has happened since at least the 6th century, where in preparing to celebrate Jesus' arrival as a baby in Bethlehem, we begin by looking at when he will arrive again. We know that Jesus will come again because even though it's been close to 2,000 years, we know that our God is faithful to us. Our first and second readings for today are ones that highlight God's faithfulness to God's people, even when the people don't see where God is. It's through this faithfulness and realizing that the promises made in the Old Testament came true in the New Testament. And then we have our trust in God's faithfulness to us. From that trust, we are able to live in hope that the promises made in the New Testament of Jesus coming again will one day come true as well. A look into God's faithfulness throughout time. We see this faithfulness in the past when we look to God's history with Israel and when we look at the incarnation of Jesus and realize that God's Son was sent to this world for us, that he came to us, he lived, he died, and he rose again so that we could all have a relationship with God and have salvation. We can see God's faithfulness to us in the present through the words that we hear and we read in our Bibles, through the sacraments, when people are baptized and claimed as children of God, when we gather at the table to receive the body and blood of Jesus each week. We see God being faithful to us even through the response to the sufferings in this world today. Realizing God's faithfulness both in the past and in the present, we can live confidently that God will continue to be faithful to us, to keep these promises that have been made, and that one day all things will be made new through Jesus entering the world again. It can be a bit scary when we read about the things that will happen as this time is about to arrive. There will be bad things that happen in the world to usher in Jesus coming again. But at the same time, the things that we are told will come are things that we already find ourselves accustomed to living with in our world today. There are always wars of some sort going on, or the potential for war to erupt. There are always natural disasters that happen. And we know there are things going on around us that cause great anxiety for us. But through it all, we know that our Lord loves us and that our Lord will always be faithful to us and we will never be abandoned by our God. Then we turn to our gospel reading. In this reading, we hear about what it means for us to be faithful to God. This passage from Mark comes with a stern warning to keep awake. In our sleep-deprived culture, we know that we keep awake quite often. So that leads us to look at whether or not we are truly awake to the things that matter, to our spiritual well-being, to our relationship with God. When we think about our faithfulness to God, we are reminded that we are to be committed to God above all other things in this world. But with that, we can start to get a different understanding of what our faithfulness to God may look like. The most important thing in this is our relationship with God. It's that we never give up on this relationship, that we don't walk away from our Lord. So what does that even mean? We may tend to think that not walking away from our relationship with God, even in the tough times of our lives, means we always like the things that happen to us, that we may not be able to question God for the things that do happen, that we're never able to challenge our Lord over what goes on around us, that we are always to say God has a plan, and that we're never really, that even when really bad things happen to us and around us, we focus on that overall plan. We may come to an understanding that being faithful means we are always in agreement with the things that happen to us and say all these things happen because of God's will, no matter what they may be. But that's not what we learn of a relationship with God through our scriptures. Instead, what we learn from our Bible is about staying in a relationship with God even when things are difficult. Means that we stay in this conversation with God, even and especially when the conversation includes why and how long. We believe in a God and follow a God who is big enough to handle when we cry out in anger, in frustration, in bitterness, where we can weep over the loss of relationships in life, over a health crisis for us or for someone we love, for a national tragedy, for an international tragedy. We know from relationships with other humans that there are ups and there are downs. There are times when we aren't even getting along with the people we love. And the same thing becomes true with our God. We go through difficult times that are sometimes called a dark night of the soul. And then there are the times when we have mountaintop experiences where we feel extremely close to our God. And what we learn from our scriptures is that through all of it, we aren't to give up. Israel spent various times seeming separated from God, but they didn't give up. Well, some of them might have, but others didn't. Through this past, we learn that God will appear to us as he has promised to do. Our relationship with God isn't bound to greetings that are meant to make us feel good. Instead, our relationship is bound by being part of this rich and messy life that comes with being disciples of Jesus. And we are disciples that live in a time that we emphasize during the Advent season, that we live in the time of already and not yet. We prepare ourselves for the celebration of what has already happened. As we prepare to celebrate for Christmas and Jesus first coming into the world, but we also prepare ourselves for what has not yet happened. What Jesus talks about in this passage from Mark, that he will come again. So in this time of waiting, we prepare for two things. And the things that we're preparing for are quite different. As we wait for Christmas, we know when it will arrive. Ready or not, it'll be here on December 25th. We generally know what life will be for us when that day gets here. We know what we have planned here in our worship life, for our family gatherings, whether or not we will travel, the foods that we want to prepare, the things that we want to bake, and all we have to do is follow through with those plans that were put in place. As we wait for Christ to come again, it's something a little different. We don't know when it'll happen. It could be tomorrow. It could be another 2,000 years. And that way, we become joined with those who were waiting for the birth of Jesus so many years ago. We know the promise of what is to come, but we don't know when. And to some level, we may not even know how. Yes, we have what we're told will take place through our scriptures, but have we read all of that correctly? The people waiting for Jesus to be born were looking for and anticipating something quite different than a baby born in a stable. So while we know of the things that will happen prior to Jesus coming again, we don't know the details of what his actual arrival will look like. With that, we wait. We wait for Christ to come again. And the waiting we participate in is this expectant watchfulness. Think about the things we have to wait for in this world. We know that waiting isn't our strong suit, especially in this fast-paced culture, but there are things that we wait for. And we're waiting for them, we do those things in different ways. If we're standing on the corner waiting for a ride or waiting for a bus, we stand or we sit and we wait. There's probably not much excitement that comes in that waiting. But if we stand on a street and we're waiting for a parade to come by, it feels different. We start to hear the music in the distance, and then we hear it coming closer, and we get excited. There's the expectation that comes with that excitement. Something great is about to happen as the parade marches by us. Or for those of you who like to fish, you wait for spring and summer when you can go fishing again. And that waiting is kind of quiet. Time just has to pass by. And then the season to go fishing arrives, and you end up at your favorite place to catch those fish. And then you end up sitting there with the line and the water, and there's the anticipation of when that fish will bite. There's excitement that comes with not knowing when that will happen or how many you'll catch that day. That's the waiting we're called to in this time. We know that Jesus will come again, and we're called to wait with the excitement that he will be here one day. We are called to live in this relationship with Jesus as time goes on, so that when he does arrive, no matter the time or the day, we are prepared. We've kept awake. We have tended to our spiritual lives. We have tended to our relationship with God, meaning that we can celebrate and welcome his arrival. The celebration that will come with Jesus' second arrival is different than what we celebrate each year at Christmas. Advent is here. Outside of this place, it's the rush to prepare for Christmas. It feels very countercultural to come into the church, to be in a place where we are called to a time of slowing down, of reflecting, of praying, of growing, of preparing. In this time, in the midst of the hustle and the bustle around us, may we find some time to just take it all in. Find some time to focus on this twofold preparation so that we can celebrate what has already happened when Christmas morning arrives. But we can also look ahead with expectant watchfulness for what is to happen in the future, when our Lord Jesus will come again. Amen.